Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, April 21st, 2024, is by Dan Bergren on the topic of Communicating the Environment.
For almost 30 years, I taught audio production at the State University at Fredonia, and I tried to tease my students into becoming better listeners. For example, to get them to think more about more critically, I'd say something like, you know, the wind has no sound. And then I'd wait for the discussion to begin, and eventually it would lead us to the point of understanding that the wind has no sound of its own that we can hear. The wind causes other things to vibrate. It gives a whispering voice to the long and slender pine needles. It plays the maple trees' bare branches in the winter, making them whistle and howl. The trees are instruments, as are we. My uncle took me into the woods when I was a teenager and tried to make a 14-year-old be quiet enough to so that we might hear some wildlife come through. And it inspired this. Birch are soprano, balsam are alto, cedar sing tenor with white pine on bass. Birds take the solos, the duets and trios. The wind is conducting to vary the pace. Rhythmic cicada with river polyphony. Woodpecker counterpoint drumming along. Three moons per season, four movements a year. From morning to evening, a never-ending song. Sometimes people use the phrase, the spirit moved me, or they point to a painting or a poem or a piece of music and they say, you know, that has such spirit to it. It makes me think of the wind that moves the branches. And in fact, the word spirit comes from the Latin spiritus, which means breath. It's important that all kinds of communicators, whether creative artists or journalists, that we all need to be keen observers. First you listen carefully, then you create something that expresses the experience. Maybe it's a painting or a poem or a symphony or a newscast. And to really be observant, you've got to be quiet yourself, not add to the noise. When I was a teenager, that experience in the woods with my uncle. As a songwriter, I try my best to observe and understand and then interpret the spirit of a place or a thing. Like this Navajo chant, if you would please join me in saying together, I become part of it. I become part of it. The mountains, I become part of it. The herbs, the fir tree, I become part of it. The morning mists, the clouds, the gathering waters, I become part of it. The wilderness, the dewdrops, the pollen, I become part of it. My exploration of life's mysteries is quite subjective and personal, and song is my communication of choice. I also love poetry, and sometimes I combine the two in my concerts. Think about a musician's repertoire. It's a body of work that represents a certain philosophy of that musician, a philosophy of life. And for me, that means respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are all a part. And here's how Chief Dan George describes it. The beauty of the trees, the softness of the air, the fragrance of the grass speaks to me. The summit of the mountain, the thunder of the sky, the rhythm of the sea speaks to me. The faintness of the stars, the freshness of the morning, the dewdrop on the flower speaks to me. the strength of the fire, the taste of the salmon, the trail of the sun, and the life that never goes away, they speak to me, and my heart soars. Fragments of the interdependent web of all existence are always a part of my concerts, and it's not often that I have the opportunity to make it my sole focus. So as an observer and an interpreter, I'd like to communicate some of the environment to you this morning. That little black and white bird that comes and takes a look and sees what you're doing in its woods. I'm leaning here up against this tree, drinking in all I hear and all I see, listening to the wind blowing through the trees while this bird sings a simple song to me. Chickadee, it's an easy little rhyme, chickadee, and no one's keeping time. Thanks, chickadee, for your company, chickadee, sing to me, chickadee. I remember the first time I heard the whistling in the woods of a black-capped bird. No other sound was so clear and high, and we call it by this simple word, chickadee. It's an easy little rhyme, chickadee, and no one's keeping time. Thanks, chickadee, for your company, chickadee, sing to me, chickadee. One of my favorite books is Beyond Your Doorstep by Hal Borland. It helped get me through basic training in the Army. I believe that one of our deepest needs is to feel at home in this world where we live, and that the only securities are those achieved when we have reached a degree of understanding of life and time and are at peace with our environment. Since we will always be a minority member of the living community on Earth, we would be wise to know something about our co-inhabitants here. Close acquaintance with nature is essential to a balanced and reasonable philosophy of life. It's quiet here, miles from nowhere, in the land of the deer, the fox, and bear. But the chickadee's the only soul I see or hear, and it's singing like it hasn't got a care. Chickadee, it's an easy little rhyme, chickadee, and no one's keeping time. Thanks, chickadee, for your company, chickadee, sing to me, chickadee. Thomas More talks about the mystery of home in his essay, Ecology, Sacred Homemaking. Home is not merely a physical space. It's an experiment that is felt deep in the heart. The soul has a deep and demanding longing for the heartfelt sense of being at home. Home may be encountered in many areas of life, yet at the same time it's extremely personal and intimate. The home we find in dreams is vividly internal, but we might discover some of that same feeling in our house, or in a geographical region around us, or in our local town, city, or neighborhood. We could even imagine some of this home soul extending to larger natural and political areas, a mountain range, a river valley, a county, a state, a nation, the globe, and beyond. And all of this is ecology, the mystery of discovering, creating, and sustaining the experience of home. The end of our maltreatment of nature may come only when we have discovered that this earth, in all its particular places and presences, offers the soul relief from its aching search for a home. When I need to think a while, I go for a walk in the woods in sun or snow. And when I'm feeling down, it always lifts me up to hear the simple song that bird knows. Sing it with me. Chickadee. It's an easy little rhyme, chickadee. And no one's keeping time. Thanks, chickadee, for your company, chickadee. Sing to me, chickadee. Another favorite book is Northern Farm by Henry Beston. He writes, "The seed catalogs are arriving again, and as I take them from their brown envelopes and study them at the kitchen table, I muse again that our relation to nature must never be anything else but an alliance. I know well enough that nature has its hostile moods, and I'm equally aware that we must often face its waywardness, its divine profusion, its divine irrationality. But even then, the alliance holds. When we begin to consider nature as something to be robbed greedily like an unguarded treasure or used as an enemy, we put ourselves in thought outside of nature, of which we are inescapably a part. Be it storm and flood, hail and fire, or the yielding furrow and the fruitful plain, an alliance it is. And that alliance is a cornerstone of our true humanity." Buffy St. Marie wrote a tribute to farmers around the world. Men of the field, women of the valleys, people of the seasons and the soil, strong hearts and hands, molding the lands, all over earth they toil. Down in the field, 9 in the morning, day's work, 3 hours done. Care for the corn, care for the cows, care for the land we need. The Growing Season by Sarah Moores Campbell. "I am not religious," says my neighbor, as they hoe the rows between the beans and corn. "Oh, yes, you are," I say to myself. "To plant a seed is an act of faith. To collect compost is a response of gratitude to the Creator. To water, fertilize, and mulch the ground is an expression of religious responsibility. To kneel down and pull weeds is a prayer. To harvest is to participate in the fullness and grace of the Spirit. To protect and replenish creation is to love God. I am not religious," says my neighbor. "Yes, you are," I say. God moves the sun, noon brings the weary man home to his table and his grace. Down on our knees, thankful that these days are our very own. Life means our work, home means our family, love means each other every day. Strong hearts and hands, molding the lands, all over earth we toil. John Moffat offers this suggestion. It's an invitation. To look at something, if you would know that thing, you must look at it long. To look at this green and say, "I have seen spring in the woods," will not do. You must be the thing you see. You must be the dark snakes of stems and ferny plumes of leaves. You must enter into the small silences between the leaves. You must take your time and touch the very peace they issue from. from North Country Spring by Reeve Lindberg. All over the north a new voice is heard, deep as the river and high as a bird. Fresh as the meadow and strong as a tree, and it calls over and over, come, listen to me. One with the water, sailing or rowing or paddling a canoe. One with the water, as old as time, each time it's new. I'm as anxious as ice in the winter, waiting for the big thaw, so I can run like the river again, even when days are raw. As sure as the sap that flows from the tree, as sure as the spirit of spring, I want to be one with the water, and free as a bird on the wing. Thomas Merton writes, what a thing it is to sit absolutely alone in the forest at night, cherished by this wonderful, unintelligible, perfectly innocent speech, the most comforting speech in the world, the talk that rain makes by itself all over the ridges, and the talk of the water courses everywhere in the hollows. Nobody started it. Nobody's going to stop it. It will take as long as it wants, this rain. As long as it talks, I'm going to listen. Care and worry behind me, hope and expectation downstream. Thoughts are floating like drifting in a distant dream. Then the splash of a beaver tail wakes me, makes me aware of stern and bow. I'm already one with the water, balanced in the here and now. Every once in a while, a sound, an image, a moment rings true, and we say that it resonates with us. Well, that's how I felt when I heard these words by Albert Einstein. I often think in music. I live my daydreams in music. I see my life in terms of music. How does one approach life that way? And why? It helps. It helps if we can understand Beethoven's idea that music is a spirit that flows through all of us. And then add to that Shakespeare's advice to find tongues in trees and books in the running brooks, sermons in stones, and good in everything. Which is not that hard to do if we really believe that we are a part of the interdependent web, and that the spirit flowing through the animals, the rivers, the fields, the forests, is the same spirit that flows through you and me. As Thomas More wrote, all of this is ecology, the mystery of discovering, creating, and sustaining the experience of home. The end of our maltreatment of nature may come only when we've discovered that this earth, in all its particular places and presences, offers the soul relief from its aching search for a home. And with that, if there's time, I welcome your thoughts.